And we're live at the Slider House here at the corner of McKnight in Manchester. Natasha Kwan is here.
Yeah.
From, I almost said Slider House. We're at the Slider House from Frieda's in University City. Dr. Rick Lehman's in the house, as always. I'm Andy Strickland. And Natasha just said, hey, can I Instagram this moment? I mean, Instagram, Doc, we talked about which social media is killing professional athletes. It wasn't Instagram.
No.
It was Snapchat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you on Snapchat?
I was. I think I'm too old for it.
Yeah.
It's a big issue. You know, it was interesting. We talked about this, but there were 10 kids that got accepted to Harvard. Harvard administration went on the website, looked at their social media, mostly Instagram and Snapchat. So they were basically going through every kid they accepted. They picked 10 kids, sent them a letter saying you're no longer accepted to Harvard because of some of the stuff that was put on social media. Content was so bad. And, you know, could you imagine getting into Harvard and then telling your parents and your friends and your teachers and your girlfriend that you got kind of DQ'd because of your social media content? And I had an interesting talk with the CEO of Omnicom, and he said they go wild looking at all of their employees and their social media content. They pay people to troll social media to see what kind of content is getting put on their private accounts and their work accounts, etc. And so, word to the wise, if you're trying to get a scholarship out there or you're getting recruited or whatever, you definitely want to be careful about what you are posting on. So, you know, don't get a picture where you're all drunk and you're half naked at the beach or...
No, don't do that.
Yeah, don't put the beer bottle in your mouth upside down. You know, just be logical. Nice pictures. Something you would think that your teachers, your parents would be proud of, because more and more people are definitely trolling social media and it's going to come back to bite you.
It's the same way with employment, too. I mean, I've seen so many Facebook pictures that are, oh, man. Like, oh, I see a little too much skin. Yeah, and these are people that, you know.
People that want to work for you?
Yeah. And some really, like, bad stuff, too.
Before you hire somebody, like, they come in for an interview, and Doc, you too. Like, will you go back? Will you go kind of troll their social media accounts to see, like, hey, who is the person that I'm actually hiring? And do you feel like their social media account, whether it's their Facebook page or whatever, paints an accurate description of who they are?
I absolutely scan everyone on social media. And because, you know, we provide a culture at Frieda's. And there are a lot of negative people out there. And if I see a lot of negative stuff, a lot of, you know, almost incriminating stuff, I won't even call these people for an interview, because how are they going to fit in a really positive culture that we're trying to have in our establishment and enhance our community?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Doc?
Well, you know, so you interview someone, you interview them for 15 or 20 minutes, you look at their CV, you ask them questions, and medical is a little bit different, that, you know, there's a lot of responsibility, and I think the restaurant business is the same. You know, there's a lot of responsibility, and so you have a 15-minute snapshot, and that's all you have. Now, when you look at 3 years of Facebook postings, and, you know, they're just doing, you know, they're water skiing naked or they're doing crazy things, then you really get a better understanding of their family, what they're like. And I agree with, I just think that Natasha's right. I think if you're seeing 3 years of whatever, something you think's irresponsible, and they're pretty good in a 15-minute interview, you know, what does that really tell you? So I think more and more, and I'll tell you something else, lawyers will come in and they'll say, this guy says he got hurt at work, and here he is dancing with the mechanical bull, you know, claiming work comp, and his leg is broken, and you know, look at Harold here, how broken could it, and we're seeing this all the time now.
Really?
Absolutely.
I had an employee not show up to work, okay? Oh, I'm not feeling well, doesn't show up. And I go on her Facebook page, I kid you not, an hour after she should have clocked in, she was listening to Beyonce on Spotify.
Now,
see?
Now, can you be sick and still listen to Beyonce? Does that mean that you're feeling better?
Oh, no, she was at a party.
She was at a party?
Yeah, I wouldn't give her the day off. I wouldn't give her the night off, so she was at a party.
Well, let me ask you this, though. How dumb can people be?
Oh, people are dumb. That's too bad.
You know, that's and I listen, I got caught in that situation when I was a kid. I called in sick after basically a week of trying to get somebody to work for me on a specific day. Everybody said no. I called in sick. I went to the Blues Blackhawks playoff game, 1993, game four. Blues swept the Blackhawks. And I didn't call in. I called in sick to work. They ended up calling, asking where I was. My mom answered the phone. I'm 15, 16 years old. Oh, he's at the Blues game. He's at the playoff game. And I ended up getting fired. This is pre-Facebook, pre-Twitter or anything. I thought I could still get away with it, but obviously I had no success in doing so. So you just got to be smart.
Yeah, but I think the same thing. I mean, if you're going to skip school, you better have somebody at home or something, you know, Ferris Bueller, something's got to happen where you're not going to get caught and you have to have an alibi. I think that in today's world, you know, with cameras and all of the social media and, you know, you basically just put your life out on social media, you run the risk of people really understanding what you're doing. So she's right. You call in sick, and, you know, then you're out there water skiing or you're at a party or, you know, you're doing a limbo at some kind of thing, and you're dumb enough to post it or your friend's dumb enough to post it, you're going to get burned.
There is another point to this story is a lot of companies, it's hard to find good help, right? Really, really hard to find good employees. So even retailers, some people in the restaurant, oh, you didn't call, you didn't show up, that's okay. You can do that up to four times and still keep your job. And this is, I mean, I have a friend that manages a company that does this. They have four times they can just not show up for their shift. And it happens all the time in the restaurant industry. And it's, you know, some people, it's like you end up working for your employees because you can't find anyone else to come in. So it's like, oh, God, they didn't come in again. Oh, they were 2.5 hours late. And everyone just picks up the slack.
Have you had to fire somebody?
Oh, God, yeah, many times.
Is it hard to do?
You know what? What's hard to do is when you find someone that's a good employee and they do something stupid to get them fired, like stealing. You know?
Oh, yeah, you can't have that.
That's a really, really hard one. And, you know, or if you talk to someone over and over and over and they just won't change, like maybe it's an attitude thing or maybe it's a cleaning thing or maybe they just can't remember stuff. But, yeah.
What about you, Doc? I mean, do you fire people who work for you? Have you had to? I can see Doc being very easy to work for.
I don't fire myself, but, you know, we've fired some people. But I think if you get four shots at not showing up, that's pretty lenient. I mean, if somebody doesn't come into work, you know, we tell them once. And if they can't, you know, just be very honest, if you can't make it, that's fine, but you can't work here. There's just too much going on and too much responsibility. So I have a question. You read all these things about people doing terrible things that you're going to tell us this never happens at Frida, so I'm giving you a heads up here. About people that do all these weird things to foods and kitchens, right? And you see it on the internet, people stirring the soup with their hair.
And yes, going to the restroom, coming back to make food.
Yeah, so what is the deal? I mean, how could anybody who owns a restaurant let this happen? Because you put so much trust in people when you eat in their restaurant.
I mean, I would never allow that to happen. And it hasn't happened. I mean, I've never seen it in my restaurant. Now, I did. When I lived in Lafayette Square, I used to frequent a place there. And I guess I look like someone that could relate to the barista that was working. And he actually told me that he spit in a politician's coffee.
Oh, my God.
And thought it was cool. I never stepped foot in that place again. I'm thinking, you don't deserve a job anywhere. Like, that is disgusting. That is here's one that so many people see. You're at a restaurant and the server goes to clear off the table, and they take the glasses, and they put their hand inside the glasses to pick them up and take them over to the dish station or something like that to get washed.
Mm-hmm.
They never wash their hands. These are things that, you know, you notice. I mean, I worked for someone. That's how I was taught 25 years ago, and it wasn't until I was working for a particular manager, he's like, no. You never do that. You never do the claw. You have to grab the glass from the bottom. You don't want the bacteria of the people's mouths, the germs on your hands.
really a good point. I never would have thought of that. That's a really good point.
Well, personally, if I was working at the restaurant, I wouldn't be grabbing the cups like that. I don't want to put my hand inside somebody's drink or somebody just drank.
Yeah. It's those little things. And once you recognize it, you'll see it everywhere. You're like, no, the claw.
I've become way more OCD with some of that stuff.
It's turned me off so much to go into restaurants. I have a lot of patients that are food inspectors, and you know, with the A and the B on the restaurants. We were in New York about a week ago, and there was this great place, this ramen place. They all wanted to eat, and we went. We got a reservation. It's got a B on the door, so I don't order. I'm like, I'm not eating.
No,
here.
I'm not going there where there's a B.
You know, and they're just chowing down, and they're like, "You're not hungry?" And I go, "I'm starving." But I said, "I just can't. I can't do it."
I should point out the Slider House where we're at right now has an A.
I saw it,
and this is about as clean of a place as you're going to go to, along with Frida's and University City.
I have not seen the claw here. Everyone is grabbing their glasses from the bottom.
Yes, which is very, very important. But I become very OCD. Like, even when I go to a grocery store or whatever, you know, I wash my hands probably, I can't tell you how many times a day I'm washing my hands nowadays. You know that?
It's good.
Like, and I go to, you know, now they have little things you can kind of clean off the grocery cart. I haven't gone that far. Sometimes I think it's even more gross to grab that, where everybody else is grabbing that thing, you know, even though it's supposed to be antibacterial. We got to take another break. We'll come back. We'll continue. We've got Natasha Kwan here from Frida's in University City. We'll talk about that when we come back. Also, Dr. Rick Lehman here on Sports Medicine. It's brought to you by Gateway Buick GMC. I'm Andy Strickland. We're live at the Slider House.